Blog Talk Radio.
Now,
hello and welcome to Conscious Cool Chic Radio. My name is Molly McCord and I'm delighted you are here today. ConsciousCoolChic.com is a convergent zone of wisdom for anyone interested in expanding their consciousness. I am a consciousness catalyst playing the roles of astrologer, author, intuitive, messenger, and teacher. With insights from spiritual guidance, I share with you consciousness-raising information that benefits and inspires our journeys as human beings. Essentially, that means I take spiritual information and make it practical, understandable, and fun to incorporate in the real world. The first half of the show covers topics related to consciousness and spirituality, and the second half of the show is focused on astrology. We will look at the main astrological energies happening right now, and I invite you to grab your astrological chart to see which areas of your life are being highlighted at this time. And as always, free ebooks, workshops, and inspiring information can be found on the website, ConsciousCoolChic.com. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with today's show.
Welcome to April, everybody. It is April 3rd, 2013. March flew by. How funny that I said Mars, since it is definitely a strong energy right now. March flew by. We are into April. We have a ton of astrological energies happening right now. And I'm excited to talk today with Rick DiClemente. He is an intuitive astrologer, and he is going to share with you some really powerful insights about astrology, about your astrological makeup, new ways to understand your sun sign, the current energies, all kinds of good stuff. So we're going to talk about that in just a moment. I'm going to introduce you to Rick and bring him on live. But first, I always like to give you a heads up about what's coming up next on the show, just so you know what we're doing and what we have in the works for you. Next week on the program, on April 10th, we are going to have the two co-creators of a book called The Thought That Changed My Life Forever. Now, if you've been listening to the show, you know that I contributed to this book. So, yes, I am going to give you the full disclosure that I am a part of this project, and it's because it's a wonderful project. We're going to share with you how to work with groups of like-minded people, how to create impactful projects, the good that comes out of it, how to benefit other people, how to serve with your messages. There's going to be a lot wrapped up into this show. Those co-creators are going to be here next week live. It's going to be a really good conversation, and I hope you feel inspired about everything that you can do in community with others. So listen to that show if you're drawn to that type of information. It's going to be really good. Then the following week, April 17th, that show is going to focus on your top spirituality questions. There's a lot of questions that people have out there, and I've received these questions through Facebook, through email, through my website, through all different channels. And some of the questions I'm going to address are, what happens when you cut cords with someone? What happens? We're going to look at the difference between spirituality and galactic energies. We're going to talk about what should you do if you have people in your life that you really enjoy, but they are not on a spiritual path, and they have no interest in it. What do you do with those relationships? That's just a sample of some of the questions. So tune into that show. That's April 17th, and you might find some good information there that's going to bring you clarity and peace around the changes that you're going through and all the healing work you've done. So hope you will join me for that. And another heads up is that if you listen to the broadcast regularly, you may have noticed I have some shows replaying. And that's because these are popular shows, the topics are still relevant, and people want to listen again. So in the queue, you'll probably hear some shows that are back from, let's see, like August and November, earlier in the year. And that's on purpose. And that's because the topics are still relevant and still helping people. So I just wanted to explain that in case you're listening to the show for the first time and wondering why I'm talking about November when here we are in April, and it's probably because you're listening to a replay. So without further ado, I am going to introduce you to one of my favorite intuitive astrologers, Rick DiClemente, who has been practicing astrology for over 35 years. He has a wonderful book out called The Exquisite Zodiac. It's available on Kindle and in paperback. I certainly recommend it. I read it because I thought all the information was so fascinating and relevant to right now. And I'm excited that we're chatting today. Rick, welcome.
Well, hello there. How you doing? Good to meet you.
I am doing great. Thank you again for being here.
Yeah, once again, nice to be here. Thank you.
Yes. So I want people to know that as they're listening, they can click on over to your website, which is starself.com. And just
right.
So everyone knows, Rick has a monthly newsletter that he sends out. And he also posts regular astrology articles on omtimes.com. So I want to mention those two locations so that people can get acquainted with your astrology insights and the information you share and offer. And I, for one, Rick, loved this current newsletter you have out about the massive Aries energy that's coming in right now.
Well, I thank you very much. It was hard to do because, you know, the general public doesn't understand the zodiac well. It's very complex, so to explain it without being misleading is quite a chore, as you know. And I didn't want people just to think that, hey, we're in Aries now, let's go, like we are every spring. This is a very, very special time. And you cannot even understand how special this is unless you rewind back to the end of the Mayan calendar in December and unless you understand the phenomenal seven planets that were in Pisces during the month of March. Once you got that background in place, then you'll understand this Mars in all these four personal planets, or three personal planets, Sun, Mars, Venus, plus Uranus sitting in Aries. Everybody's feeling like go, 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 but that's not really the point. The point is what newness we have incorporated, as you know, during December, January, February, March. Because this Pisces energy that we've been privy to and which is saving our butt, I might add, this Pisces energy that was in March, people were reporting being disoriented. They were reporting being high. They were reporting their intuition was opening up greater and greater and greater, and that was very real. And I like to think that that was an answer to being post-Mayan calendar or flipping the page onto the next Mayan calendar. Did you not find that your experience, Molly?
I did, and you described it beautifully. The seven planets in Pisces was so rare, as you said,
yeah.
And just took us, it literally felt like feet off the ground. You know, it has that
yes.
floaty feeling.
Yeah. And that is because, if I may, that's because us Westerners aren't used to it. We are a materialistic society. We are changing. We're down to ground, go to work, get your food, come home, cook it. You know, we're very, turn on the TV, we're very glued to the material plane. And I think the people in India and Eastern religions, I think they experienced March in a totally different manner. So if you were in an ashram during March, I think you found it to be an optimal time. But it was a time of phenomenal, phenomenal doorways opening up. And I can't even tell you, and I'm sure you'll agree, that what's happening now is that the light workers, I'll use that phrase, massage people, astrologers, numerologists, all the different techniques that are out there, those older, experienced light workers are being required now to go higher, to go to another octave, because the powers that be, the angels, the helpers, the spirit guides, they know that we're in trouble here. I've been saying this for years, and they're inspiring people like you and me to go higher, to teach the teachers. Meanwhile, the quote people who were not light workers are becoming light workers as fast as you can snap your fingers. Every other person in my office coming for an astrology reading, they can't wait to get out of their job and start doing light working. And that's all coming from this Neptune. So we're in Chiron traveling together in Pisces. So we're definitely seeing a new age. And I'll tell you another thing, Molly. About a month ago, I was just sitting here, and I have an intuitive kind of, radar. I just felt knocked over one day with the fact I just received the message that the East has taken over the West. I felt that we had reached a tipping point, and that the East has finally made it through. And kudos to Paramahansa Yogananda when he brought yoga over to the West in 1952. And I think you're seeing it in the TV shows, in the movies, in the discussions people are having. People are starting to see that the West doesn't work and that the East does work. And hopefully what we'll start to see now is a healthy blend of the two. What did you feel?
I felt the same as well. I felt that there was I felt as a requirement for more spirituality in my life, that it can't be, you know, there's people who I feel have been stiff-arming it, keeping it at the sidelines, keeping it away, and now there is so much energetic support for spiritual interests, for authors, for information, everything. And like you said, it has taken over, and it's required right now. We need to own this part of ourselves and this part of our lives.
Well, I think you're absolutely right on, and I know you're an astrologer too, but you can see this through other fields. It's just showing up everywhere. Well, there really several powerful things happened. Number one, not only were we in a new Mayan calendar, wasn't the end of the world, we've all made it through, but that calendar, I felt intuitively as we were reaching the end of that calendar, it was the end of the uncivilized world and the beginning of a civilized world. And if we didn't become civilized, you know, it's too bad for us, because you can see what's going on in the planet, and it's not good. The planet's defending itself. But what was so miraculous was that all of a sudden people were starting to get used to all that energy in Pisces in March. And then four planets quickly shifted. Three planets, Uranus was sitting in Aries, and three planets left Pisces, and boom, it all hit Aries, four planets, and I wrote about it in the current newsletter. So you must be feeling good being in Aries. It's just like somebody put high test in your engine instead of the normal gas.
Yes, and I was, as you were talking, I was thinking about, it's always an interesting transition from Pisces energy into Aries, because it's you really have to get your feet back on the ground, and it's almost like you want to start running. And then I look at it as we have this very strong Pluto in Capricorn that is making us check in. So we have all this Aries energy, and then we have Pluto in Capricorn that's saying, okay, are you being responsible? Are you owning your authority? I mean, so it's an interesting dynamic, because we are being required to work, to put things into practice.
And Saturn is sitting in lovely Scorpio, which is no picnic. Well, you know, that really refers me back to the book, The Exquisite Zodiac, because The Exquisite Zodiac explains how, more or less, you know, when you hear about God's story and the angel that fell from heaven, what I really think is meant and is tracked in that book, because the book explains the why of the 12 signs, and I think what it really means is that when mankind, quote-unquote, took separation from God and said, well, what if I were separate from God and I could go play by myself and I could be myself? That, to me, was the beginning of Aries. That was the beginning of the illusion. And to me, the first 11 signs of the zodiac are all about becoming separate, and Taurus wants to get grounded, and Gemini wants to spread its wings, and Cancer wants to spread its emotions, and on around the zodiac. That's what the book is about. But then you get to that final, next to last, that penumbral sign of Aquarius, where it's the 11th sign, it's got everything together. It's totally the man. It's totally the female. It's independent, doesn't need anybody, very smart, and it still is suffering. It still is not complete. And what's keeping it from its fullness is a surrender, which is the final sign of Pisces, which aligns with Neptune. And in the sign of Pisces, the individuality gives up the myth once again of being an individual, and then you have the surrender back into the ocean of oneness. And then you have that circle going on and on, back into Aries, back to Pisces. And that's what the book is about. It's about, it's not Geminis are flighty or Cancers are sensitive. The Exquisite Zodiac is about how each sign morphs from one sign into the next, because the previous sign can only take you so far. And I think for the first time we have an astrology book that really explains how the 12 signs are all connected. And it's interesting how it starts out with the fire of Aries and it ends up with the surrender of Pisces.
I've been nodding my head the whole time you're talking, because when
I can see it.
Because when I read The Exquisite Zodiac, Rick, I was literally like, finally, someone's saying it, or someone's connecting the dots. And it's fascinating, because not only do you explain the comprehensive journey, but you talk about the different stages of growth, and then you talk about how, for example, Virgo energy will repel Leo energy because it's at a different place in the journey.
Yeah.
And so you make all these connections that I think are wonderful mentally for each of us to understand the zodiac and astrology, but then we can turn around and incorporate it into ourselves and say, okay, well, this is why a part of me thinks this and a part of me doesn't want that. It's because we have these energies.
It doesn't make sense until this book, because out of nowhere it tells you Libras are balanced and Libras are harmonious and Scorpios are intense. It's like God was in 12 different moods, you know? It doesn't make any sense. This book connects it together, and I'm not tooting my own horn. What I'm really saying to you is this book was written by Neptune and Chiron. No matter what we did, when we wrote this book, my partner and I, Liza Jane Brown, when we wrote this book, it started right at the time, within 4 days. This book started within 4 days of when Neptune and Chiron entered Pisces. And when Neptune and Chiron entered Pisces, you'll remember the January, February of 2009 was the same time that Oprah Winfrey had Eckhart Tolle on with her discussing the 10 chapters of his marvelous book, A New Earth. And she put it on the web for all to see. And to me, that was the beginning of, me is really the beginning of the Aquarian age. It's the beginning of us being ready to think along those terms. Here she is talking about these, you know, esoteric principles on live TV and not getting people's hair raised. It was a phenomenal time period. So every time we published the book, every time we wrote the book, no matter what we did or tried to do, we tried to launch things. It would not work. And when we did launch things, Neptune and Chiron were significant on the moment of the launch. And the exact moment of the Mayan calendar's ending, Neptune and Chiron were rising on the ascendant in Greenwich, England.
I love that you're making that connection between the Mayan calendar, because we focus on the fact that it's the end of the Mayan calendar, but it's really the beginning of the next calendar.
Right. It's the new age. And I'm telling you, it was out of my hands. I mean, I've been thinking about this stuff for 35 years and lecturing about it, but you know how many people say, I want to write a book, I want to write a book. And my God, you know how hard it is. It's a lot of work, stamina. But it wrote itself, and that's why we're not marketing this book in a greedy kind of way, heavy duty Western capitalistic, shove it down your throat way. We just know that Neptune and Chiron will take care of it, because here's what I'm saying is the book is needed now. I really feel that now is astrology's time. It's time for it. And Lord knows we got enough obstacles if you read this stuff in the magazines and you read this stuff on the web and newspapers, my goodness, some of this stuff isn't even 101.
Yes, people are really ready and wanting to absorb more understanding of their spiritual purpose, their spiritual talents, their spiritual gifts, all of this. And that's one of the reasons why I really enjoyed The Exquisite Zodiac, is because of how you explained it. And it did feel, I had this feeling over and over again, that it did come through you, that it has that higher divine quality to it.
And what I want to say about this is, everybody over-identifies with their sun sign too much. It's like an ego. I'm a Capricorn. Well, I'm a Cancer. Well, I'm a Leo. That's not the point at all. You're only, like in your chart, Molly, you know, you're somewhat Aries, but an Aries is not going to do the kind of show you're doing. There has to be a very strong Pisces and Aquarian flavor to your chart to uplift you into broader spectrums. And Aries is not another oriented sign. It's a self-oriented sign. And indeed, that's what's in your chart. And people are dying to know more about their own chart, and there are very few people that can tell them accurately. So that's why the book was written not for Aries sun sign, Taurus sun sign, Gemini. It was written about the Aries archetype, the Taurus archetype, which means if you have a whole lot of Leo in your chart, this book was written for you. You would really understand it. But like my brother, who was a Pisces, he had five planets in Leo. If he were to read the Pisces chapter, it wouldn't make much sense to him because he can't sense the Pisces because he should be reading the Leo. And most people don't know that you have four or five signs in your chart that are well represented.
Absolutely. And I think that is such a key point, is that people just aren't educated or informed enough about astrology from other astrologers that, no, you have many energies within you that are quite dominant, and that's why you could read a book like this and you will connect with four or five different main themes, because those are your themes.
Astrology is very, very difficult to do. It took me 35 years now, but it took me about 20 until I stopped saying to myself, oh, you were just wrong. A lot of times, that's why beginning astrology students drop out very quickly, because it's very hard to do. It's so contradictory. They get this myth in their mind that they're going to open the chart, and the chart's going to tell them the story. Well, it's not that easy. It's a lot of work, and you got to be very intuitive and be able to mix all these different archetypal messages. And I think that's why a lot of astrologers quit and they go off into stars, they go off into specializing on full moons, they go off into talking about relationships. In other words, I think there are very few astrologers that can really read the chart, because it's difficult to do, and you have to be, I keep telling my students, you have to be willing to be wrong. And what that means is, you're not really wrong, you're understanding needs to pivot a little bit. You're talking about the archetype, but you need to talk about another part of the archetype. And for instance, you could be talking to Virgo, and you're neat and tidy, aren't you? And the Virgo says, well, I'm not neat and tidy at all, I'm a slob. Well, you say, well, then you think you're wrong. But what you need to do as a reader is to see, they may not be neat and tidy on the physical plane, but they are in their mind. Their mind is very organized, very black and white, and the way they see things. So there are a lot of astrologers who really try to do well, and they give up too early, because it is, you've got to be able to go through a lot of defeats. I'm sure you have experienced it yourself.
Yes, I have, where you think, you know, you're in that mental space, and you think, okay, I'm right on, I'm going to hit this nail on the head, and then, nope, you've got to veer right, and you're completely wrong.
But
it's fine-tuning it. It's fine-tuning.
But what happens to me is I listen closely to the client. The other day I was reading for somebody, and I kept talking about, oh, my God, what was it? I kept talking about one way of looking at the archetype. And the person kept saying no, 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 no. And she wasn't being difficult, but as she kept talking and talking and talking, she started to use a phrase that made sense to her, which was really the same thing I was saying. And then we started to talk the same linguine, you know?
Yep.
We started to talk the same. So
yes.
What people don't understand is there are archetypal forces underneath us. People say, Molly, what got into you last night? What's getting into Uncle Charlie lately? Well, those are the planets going overhead their chart. Those are exactly what they are. Astrologer knows when they'll start, when they'll peak, when they'll fade, what they mean, how to deal with it. But the typical person just says, well, something's gotten into him and I'm not sure. And people are walking around without their map. Without their map.
Exactly. Right. Yes.
Don't
and I'm going to do a quick...
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I said, don't you find it very frustrating when you know the answer to something and you're looking and you know it's a certain planet, you can't really say anything to anybody? You know, like this coach that just got fired at Rutgers yesterday. I looked at his chart, and here's his Mars, Neptune, and Scorpio. And the guy got fired for being too blunt and being too... he had a lot of Aries and a lot of Aquarius. He was very direct with his players. He went overboard, like Mars, Neptune signifies in Scorpio. He cussed at him, threw balls at him, and the next thing you know, he got fired. But, you know, I knew going to look at his chart that something was wrong in that area, and there it was. See, people don't realize that these archetypal symbols are very intimately involved with you, and that's why our next book is going to be The Intimate Zodiac.
That is going to be really helpful because it's going to build on people's understanding from the exquisite zodiac and just this understanding of all
yes.
the energies within us that get activated through different transits, through different...
That's
do you
right.
do progressions?
I do progressions, I do a lot of transits, but what I do very heavily now is I read the natal chart, and I do the 12th harmonic, and I do the 6th harmonic. The harmonic charts are seldom used, and they need to be used more by astrologers. They're derivatives of the natal chart. They're like changing lenses at the eye doctor and looking closer at a certain thing. So if I do your natal chart, Molly, I get a sense of how you are, but I don't treat it real heavily at first. I touch it lightly. There's too much pressure on astrologers that they put on themselves. They think the natal chart's in front of them and they should know everything. Well, it doesn't work that way. You know yourself, there are thousands of natal charts you look at and they just don't make complete sense. You'll look at the chart of a mass killer and it doesn't show up in the chart. You'll look at the transits. It doesn't show up in the chart. And then you look at other people. You look at other people. It does make sense. But when you bring the harmonics into play, it really helps. So I look at the 12th harmonic, which tells me a generality about your past life and why you took this life. And the 6th harmonic is the one I'm really hot about because it's the one that really shows your destiny. It's the one that's on fire when you come to see me because people come to see me when they're ready to go. That's what I am. I'm a confirmer of people when they're ready to go. That's what's happened to me. I don't know how, but they come and they're ready to go and they just want somebody to give them that little shove down the slide. You've done it.
Yeah, and you do that so well. You hit the nail on the head. You say the phrase. You get to the heart of the issue. You give
right.
people that pat on the back to go for it or that swat on the butt to hurry up and do it. And I think that all makes sense, Rick, because that is one of your intuitive gifts. And that's something that I really appreciate about you is that you have these skills to just hone in on what someone needs to hear, whether or not they want
yeah.
to hear it is another
yeah,
thing.
Yeah, but what I tell my beginning students is, and I think the real key is this, you got to be willing to be wrong. You got to be willing to say to the client, I'm looking at this. This is very significant. I'm not sure what it means. These are the keywords I'm getting, but I'm not certain. You got to leave it there. But the ego gets involved, and too many astrologers try to sound too cute and try to translate everything, and then you get a bad name put upon us. And that's why I like the Exquisite Zodiac, because what I found, Molly, is teaching astrology. I used to try to make everybody an astrologer back in 82, 83. It doesn't work because not many people are crazy like me and you, you know?
Right,
and
yeah.
What I found out is astrology is a marvelous tool for whatever they do, whether they're going to be a therapist, especially if they're going to be a numerologist. Whatever field you get into, astrology is really at the basis.
And
so go ahead.
I was just going to say that's a very really interesting correlation, is to look at how it is the base, because of all the information that can be gleaned from it.
I mean, I have psychologists that come to me and they want a little heads up on a person. I say, these are the energies I see. These are the possible aspects that are conflicting. This is what the person is going through. And I think I save some psychologists months and months of therapy by giving them a heads up on their archetypal design. You know, Carl Jung spent most of his latter years staring at astrology charts. He was so obsessed with it. It's not what people think it is.
Right, and I think that's why it's so fascinating as well. It's because it's the puzzle that never ends for each person, and then collectively. There's just always more information to understand, or that you see for the first time, or new ways of understanding the themes that are coming up.
Yeah, I have 43 years ago I saw my chart. I'm still learning. So what were you going to ask?
I was going to ask if you're noticing any themes right now for people then who are coming into your office and sessions having.
Oh, my God. My God, yeah, the themes. People are ready. They're ready to go. You know, I mean, you got to keep in mind that I'm seeing people that are coming to see an astrologer. A lot of people who are shut down, turned off, and have taboos against it. I don't blame anybody for not believing in astrology. Why should they? From what they're exposed to. But people love coming. You know, you wouldn't believe that most of my clients are Virgo females. Isn't that hard to believe?
Fascinating.
I never see Virgo men or Aquarian men because they have a lot of pride and solve it themselves. But Virgo females, they love that feeling of, I think, first of all, they admire my skill, but I think they like being in tune with the program. You know, Virgo wants to do what's right. And the thing about astrology is humans have so many thousands of thoughts in their heads arguing. So when something comes through to you, say, well, I think I'll start a horse farm, this new idea. It comes, quote-unquote, comes out of nowhere. It doesn't come out of nowhere. It comes directly from the divine. But the chart will show that. The chart, and that way you can verify what they're doing. Then they feel really good. If you can verify, you know, you're feeling the right thing. But a lot of people are nervous about following their impulses, and they just want somebody to give them a little bit of a push.
Yes, yes. And so the trends you're seeing, especially with the Virgo women, it's interesting because when you said that, the first thing that came to my mind is that original Uranus-Pluto conjunction in Virgo.
Right.
In the 60s. And so it's interesting because that energy is being triggered again right now.
Well,
and
it's
so
a phenomenal thing. Go ahead.
I was going to say, so there's something about people are ready because they're feeling it. And if you have a lot of Virgo energy and you were born in the 60s with that imprint in your chart, you're really feeling it. You're really here to revolutionize something for yourself.
Well, that really makes sense. And what's happened is Uranus and Pluto, very powerful, revolutionary planets, conjuncted in October of 65. Therefore, your British and American invasion, and everything went nuts. And if you were in school then, and the bell bottoms, and the paisley, and polka dots, and people wear their hair, I mean, that's when the man lost control of the people. You know, that's how we put it back in those days. But, you know, this well-behaved, tie-wearing student body just became anything goes. And then 2 years later, you had the Summer of Love. Well, that was all because of the revolution in 65. So all these people born from 60 to 69, they all show up in my office by the thousands now because they're all in their 40s, and they're all in the square now. So 43 years later, Uranus and Pluto are now at a right angle to each other. They were together in Virgo in 65 with LBJ, the Virgo. What did he put in place? Medicare, Medicaid, student rights, health rights, women's rights. All this stuff was Virgoan. And these planets would have been much more explosive if they had been in a fiery sign like Leo. But being in Virgo, they were somewhat controlled. So la-di-da, 43 years later, after all these things are said and done, what's being tested? Because the square, the opening square of Uranus and Pluto at a right angle right now, what's being tested? Medicare, Medicaid, black rights, women's rights, abortion rights, all this stuff, that's why. And what you said is perfect, because we first what we saw last year, 2 years ago, we saw how we were falling on our face. We saw how we're really a racist country. We saw how the voters' rights were being messed with. And now, you're right, we're saying to ourselves, well, if we really want to hold that promise that was made when Uranus and Pluto conjuncted in 65, we have to really do it. And that's why we need Aries like you up front saying, come on, let's get it together. Here's your materials. Let's go. We got to really do it this time, because that's what a square does.
It creates that action, the need for action, or that need for change.
It brings the crisis. That's why people have the 7-year itch in the marriage, is because Saturn gets 1/4 of the way around the zodiac squaring itself. That's why you have the sun squaring itself 90 days later, and you have 90-day probation at work. The opening square of any conjunction or anything that starts is the trial period. Is this working? And that's why we floated through all these 43 years with, you know, all these different things, affirmation and all that. And then the crisis hit. And look, every single thing that was started in 65 is up for grabs now. Every single thing. And that's why. And it's because it's testing us to see how really devoted we are to it, or was it all just words?
And then it's interesting to take...
Go ahead. No, you dear. Go ahead.
Okay. I was going to say, because then it's interesting to take in the components of Neptune and Chiron and Pisces.
What
that offers to the mix.
Oh my God. That's never happened before. Because Chiron was not known up till 77, was not observed till November of 77 in early Taurus. Well, of course, when you go back to the days of Da Vinci, Chiron's the exact reason that Da Vinci was so phenomenal. So it was active back then, but in the collective consciousness, Chiron and Neptune came in with Mr. Obama, and right at the time that we lost Teddy Kennedy. And you tell me what does Chiron and Neptune mean in Pisces to you, astrologically, the key words?
Oh, well, it's about spiritual development, destiny,
right.
Connection, right. Oneness, the remembering
right.
of our
right.
true energies.
That's
it's
right, and that's
spirit.
Why these two... That's why these two planets are not going to give up until everybody, Neptune, everybody is healed. Chiron. That's what they mean. In Pisces, you have these two planets coming in while we're going through this nasty Uranus square Pluto, which is, I got the list in front of me. Uranus is going to square Pluto 7 times exactly over the next 2 years, and the third one is coming up May 20th, and the final one will be in March of 2015. And that's all the discord that you see with everything politically. This pathetic argument we're having with guns, this Congress that doesn't want to do anything, that's all symbolic of the huge power struggle of Uranus and Pluto. I think if it weren't for Neptune or Chiron right now, things would be really scary.
I agree. We have a lot of gifts with that strong Pisces energy right now. And
yes.
And even if it's just to connect back to our destiny, our soul purpose, how we're here to grow and heal, I think that's a really strong theme right now that overrides everything that's happening on the surface, on the ground level.
And it's wonderful that this Pluto came to an end in 2008. You know, it brought all of the hardship, but one of the great things that Pluto did in Sagittarius was give us Blog Talk Radio, and people can't BS each other now. Now you're on the air talking to everybody. People are tuning in by clicking on the mouse. Do you know how that Pluto in Sag era started? That Pluto in Sagittarius era started in 1995 when we had a thing called Windows. Isn't that something?
Wow.
When people were lined up around the block because out of the development from Bell Laboratories and from Apple Computer, you know, they went ahead and borrowed, quote unquote, this thing called Windows. And you could click on a button and up comes a box and you could see the world. Well, that Sagittarian opening, that's one of the great things that Sag gave us. And it's putting you right in the catbird seat where you should be, because you're an Aries, and you're a leader, and you're not afraid, and you're taking it on, let's go. And what I'm finding, Molly, is all kind of people like us out there. They're just everywhere. People, how many new newsletters do you get every day? I get at least two a day.
Right. And
everybody,
all the new spiritual information, the books, the resources, the websites, it keeps growing and growing. It's a snowball.
It is just mushrooming. And for us old hippies back in the 60s, when we go in these little bookstores and read these little books by Alice Bailey and share it with a friend, and maybe two friends knew about it, maybe we read a little bit of Ram Dass, it was all slow. People thought we were nuts and wanted to label us. Well, that's where it all started. It all started with the beatniks saying, hey, something's not right here with this system. And then it started exploding, and you get the words of Crosby, Stills, and Nash. And it started growing, especially with the Moody Blues. And it's really a wonderful time that we're in. And I write my heart out every month, like you do. Just imploring people to do what you can. I started with a newsletter with 50 people. I got, you know, several thousand now. So everybody can do it. They're doing what you're doing. You just got to find your thing, go out and practice, do it, whether it's tarot cards, whether it's whatever, you know. But we can't go back into that mentality of capitalism is going to save us all, because it won't.
Right, and we need to rely on ourselves and bring our authority
back
to ourselves and our spiritual gifts and our spiritual energies and everything we can share. That's what I find coming up over and over again as the theme, personally and then within people in my own life and with clients and these kinds of conversations. It all comes back to the fact that we can't avoid our divine selves.
That's exactly right, and what we're really finding out, and that's why March was so heavy. It wasn't just the cloudiness of Pisces. We actually touched base with the oneness inside of ourselves, which means that we touched our normal ego and we saw that it wasn't real. And that's why people were calling me saying, what's going on? I'm so disoriented. What's going on is you're touching your real self and you're identified with your ego all your life, of course. That's why you were trained. But you're starting to touch that other place that you read about in the Bhagavad Gita, you read about it in the Course in Miracles, you read about it Ram Dass everywhere. And that's a marvelous, powerful shift. And you're seeing it in the collective now, where, what's happening to the U.S. is the U.S. is coming into a major identity crisis, because as long as we keep identifying with we're the best, we're the man, we're the police state of the world, we're the one that will set you right, the rest of the world isn't going to put up with that anymore. We have to shift right now. we're, in 2015, we're gonna pay the piper, because when Pluto hits our sun in 2015, that will be the peak of our identity crisis, and we've got to come out of that World War II mentality and get more into a mentality where we're all sharing this planet, as you know, which is going through a lot of rough changes now.
Yeah, right. And what you tuned into, I think, Rick, there is key, is the Pluto energy of change. And one of the articles you wrote, I think it was last summer, that on OM Times, was about Pluto.
Yeah.
And that with Pluto, you just have to say yes. You have to let go and release and be done with parts of yourself so that you can move forward into the new version of yourself. And I find that is a really important theme right now. And Pluto won't let go and isn't going to be soft about it. It's almost like you have to give in to its will.
Well, you are exactly right. And that is the energy that's in the background, was January 25th of 2008, when Pluto at 9:30 at night on a Friday, when Pluto went into Capricorn, and it's going to stay there till 2023, and the bills came due. That's what happened. The bills came due. And for the 13 years before that, what did you get every day in the mail?
I could buy
credit
a home.
Credit cards, remortgage. Every friend of yours had three Winnebagos in their driveway, and they had a part-time job at Rite Aid. And you're saying, how are they doing this? It wasn't real. It wasn't real. They were borrowing. Didn't you? I was doing. I kept driving by people's houses seeing all this stuff, saying, how do they afford this stuff? Well, it wasn't real with Sagittarian credit card. And then it exploded in Capricorn, and everything came crashing, because Capricorn is, okay, what's really real now? Like you say, at the bottom of my website, there's a button that's called newsletters, and you can read on the bottom of my bunch of newsletters. On the bottom, there are lengthy articles about Pluto and how we saw this coming in 2006. And it's the cleansing. And you know what I'm finding, Molly, is this Cancerian country, which means we're very sensitive, everybody's crying for, when's the recovery? When's the recovery? Because we're used to it. Well, the answer is, there is no recovery. Because I've got the patient cut open. I'm pulling out all of this corruption. And I'm not going to sew you up just because your family will be happier. I'm going to leave you open and make sure I get all the corruption. What are you finding month after month after month since 08? You're finding more and more and more corruption. Boy Scouts, Catholic Church, Penn State, it's just everywhere. And that's the first step of healing, as you know. Just like you said. Just like.
And then we throw into the mix Saturn and Scorpio, which says
everything you've
been hiding, you've been doing in your own private rooms, anything you've kept hidden is going to be revealed. The truth will be revealed.
Yep.
And so that theme is coming forth so strongly right now, and we're going to continue with that for at least another 2 years.
And that's the wonderful thing your guests should know about following an Aries like you. Aries people, you'll read in the book, Aries people, for the most part, are very, very trustworthy. They're blunt. They're self-oriented. But usually they're very innocent. They just say what they got to say. They keep it real simple. Look at the famous Aries we've had. You know, Joseph Campbell, Ram Dass. What's his name? James Hillman. Just great thinkers that are just so pure. They just tell you like it is. They put it on the table. Other signs, hem and haw. Aries like to fight it out. That's where the two rams are. Button heads. Let's get this stuff out. You know, it's not pussyfoot. Other signs, like you say, with Saturn and Scorpio, it's time to give up your story. It's that what it is. Give up your story and be. You know, I'm the first one in line here. Be who you really are. Say what you got to say. And boy, you're right. If you're harboring that stuff and carrying dirty laundry, look out.
Right. It's a time when we also will be rewarded with that release, meaning, you know, Saturn makes us responsible, but it's for a reason. It's for the betterment of ourselves. And so there's also a lot of good that comes from saying yes, from releasing old baggage, from letting go of parts of yourself that are no longer true. And it's a process, and it's easier said than done, but it's completely worth it. And I've had to go through it many times in my life, and it will continue.
Yeah.
So it's just part of this. Yeah, purification is big, transformation, all of that right now is important. And I find that, again, it connects back to the strong Pisces energy where we're doing it for the betterment of humanity, for all of us, that we're all in this together, and that when I reveal the truth of who I am, it allows space for other people to reveal the truth of who they are, and then we support each other and we go forward
exactly
from that
right.
space.
Yes, and you could find what you were saying. You can find on omtimes.com in their search box, you could find that article. It's really advised because it's about Pluto being your friend. And so many people are scared to death of Pluto, and they're scared to death of Saturn. You know, you don't need to be scared to death of any planet. All you need to do is be willing, and these planets will help you. And that article is about Pluto helping you. People will give you money. They will take you to the right psychologist. They'll take you to the right banker. They'll take you to the right book, the right movie, but not if you're hiding. Especially Pluto. Pluto wants you to be courageous. And if you are being courageous and trying, this planet will knock walls down for you and help you. That's what that article is about. But if you don't trust, and if you aren't willing and you're afraid, as you know all the books tell you. You know, in other words, anymore, Molly, I don't even do all this astrological stuff. I sit with my client and I say, are you moving or are you blocked? Are you moving or are you blocked?
Right.
If you're blocked, everything goes wrong. And if you're blocked, the chart will show why and we can dig in. But if you start to move and have some trust, like all the books say, everything just starts working. And I think everybody's interested in that in so many ways, you know. And I think one of the things happening to us is we're sobering up from a lot of lies. We've been lied to in many ways. Look at this recent election. How many politicians were dancing up on the stage, just like you were shooting a gun at their feet. They were making up stuff as fast as they could think of it, you know.
Right.
And not today. People won't put up with it. That's the wonderful thing about blogging. You know, within five, you can go on certain sites during the debate. You can go on certain sites and see them reacting to each sentence. So the age of BSing is quickly fading.
Yes, the people's voice is. Yeah, and the people's voice is everywhere. I mean, I look on Twitter, Facebook, everything. Just people are responsible for what they say right away, and then they're also tested and have to support it. So you can't just spit out lies or repeat what someone else said and take credit for it. It's a true ownership here, a true way of maintaining your credibility and knowing that you'll be held accountable for it.
Yes, and that's why probably with you too, and with all, probably with all light workers, to use a phrase, the greatest thing that we do is send somebody out of our office more in touch with themselves, you know. Send them home. People really like to identify with themselves very negatively. You know, it's because I'm Irish. It's because I got a bad temper. It's because my dad was a drunk. It's all these things, and people really identify themselves very negatively. And it's a real joy to send people home, and they see themselves in a different light that's very positive. And if you can get them in touch with their own God inside of them, I mean, that's the ultimate victory, I think.
Absolutely, Rick. I love how you said that, because that rings true. And that brings it back to why astrology is so empowering, and all the gifts of every sign and every planet. It's meant to bring you back to your God self, I think.
Yeah, I saw an article the other day that was very nasty towards Aries, and I really thought that the article was just not written correctly. They didn't really understand. I mean, certainly Aries can be very selfish, like any sign has its downside, but they didn't see at all what the positive side is. Aries is the newborn. It's the fresh face. You don't expect a baby to stand up and meet you at the door and shake your hand. You know, you expect them to be self-oriented, and that's one of the great things about being around an Aries. They're very refreshing. They bring you into the here and now. And the same with the other signs. So when you get these negative traits about the other sign, it's really because the person isn't projecting the archetype purely as it's meant. And the book explains both the good and the bad, so I hope people will pick up a copy.
Yes, and again, it's about the exquisite zodiac. That's what we've been discussing here with Rick DiClemente. And check out Rick's website, starself.com. Again, he has a great monthly newsletter that has a lot of good insights. It summarizes what's happening now and what's coming up in the next month ahead. And I like how for this month of April, Rick, you went through each sun sign and talked about the energies of right now and how the surge
right.
of Aries energy will be working with each sun sign. It's really good information.
Well, thank you. And if people don't understand how a horoscope is done, let's say you got a Sagittarian, the way a horoscope's done, you mythically put Sagittarius over there between 8 and 9 o'clock. That's called the first house in astrology. That position is always the first house. So if Sagittarius is in the first house, then Capricorn is in the second house, and Aquarius is in the third, Pisces is in the fourth, then the fifth house is where all this Aries activation is happening. So for all Sagittarians in the planet, 8.5% of the population, Aries is doing a tremendous, forceful, aggressive surge forward in their fifth house. And the fifth house is noted for creativity, expressing love, expressing yourself, outputting yourself, children. So that's where an astrologer gets their basis from when they do these horoscopes. It's just that some of them get real cute about, you know, cosmopolitan bedside, lover bedside, whatever it is.
That reminds me of the 80s and 90s for some reason. It's just an outdated way of looking at things, but it's also still prevalent, which is
a
little bit scary.
80s and what?
80s and 90s era.
Yeah. Your bedside companion.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what your bedside companion is getting your own self clean emotionally. You want a bedside companion because that's the number one question they ask everybody. It's get rid of your baggage. That's your answer. Get rid of your baggage and he will come.
That's right. And there are no shortcuts.
No. And if you're just following somebody's going to come on a certain day, it's probably somebody you don't want. You get
yeah.
yourself in a you get yourself in alignment, and man, you've seen it happen. It just happens overnight. It's amazing. That's why I love being on with you, because you're very direct. There's no flippy, shiny stuff here, and it's all very direct and honest. And I really enjoy working with you. Thank you for having me.
Well, thank you, Rick. I'm hoping that more people discover your talents and book sessions with you and work with you, because they're only going to benefit. They're only going to learn more about themselves. So I'm very appreciative of your time spent with us and everything you've shared, and I hope that people will go check out starself.com and follow you on Facebook and check out your articles on Om Times. You're doing so much good work.
Thank you. I wanted to say, I did forget, I'll be appearing in Tucson, Arizona, April 14th at the Tamara Spiritual Center, April 14th, 2:30 to 4:30, and we'll be discussing, having interaction about the exquisite zodiac, So if you're in northern Arizona, up on by. Thank you, everybody. I hope you really enjoyed it. I did. Thank you.
Thank you, Rick. Thank you, everyone. We will see you back here next week, same time, and I hope you have a wonderful week ahead. Namaste. Thank you.
I have become alive. I wish that I could have this moment for life. For life. For life. Cause in this moment I just feel so alive. 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 I wish that I could have this moment for life. Moment I just feel so alive.